Welcome to East Texas News Roundup for the week ending Friday, March 8th, 2019. East Texas News Roundup is a weekly review of the news in five Southeast Texas counties covered by Polk County Publishing Company newspapers, including Tyler, Polk, Trinity, San Jacinto, and Houston counties, by the editors of those five newspapers. Tyler County Booster editor Chris Edwards kicks off this week's podcast.
Howdy, everybody. This is Chris Edwards here of the Tyler County Booster, bringing you all the news and events from Tyler County Way in a rounded-up fashion. Hope everybody's having a good and productive week and doing the best they can getting through this last blast of cold, and hopefully that we've got coursing through our region, and hopefully next week we'll start really seeing some springtime. As I know, I'm eager to see it. I'm a transitional weather or season kind of guy. I really like the spring and autumn seasons, especially springtime. So anyways, here's a few things that are happening or have happened in Tyler County and taken from the latest edition of the Tyler County Booster. Our top story this week is about a citywide cleanup effort being done in Woodville, the Tyler County's county seat. This is going on until March the 15th, next Friday, and people in Woodville have an opportunity to bring heavy items that might not be able to fit in a trash can over to the city warehouse. And of course, there are some restrictions on this. There's a long list of prohibited items. You can't be bringing chemical wastes or containers that have fuel and oil in them, or batteries or fluorescent light tubes or thermometers or paint or used tires or televisions. It's a long list, but large items that might not fit in your trash can very neatly, like an old threadbare couch or recliner that just can't be reupholstered again, or the coffee table that somebody fell into and might have broken or whatever, those kinds of things are definitely fair game to bring out to the city warehouse as part of this cleanup effort. And also, in addition to that, this Saturday, March the 9th, there's an event throughout the city of Woodville called Be Green, Stay Clean. And this is the second year this event is taking place, and it's a citywide effort of volunteers, civic organizations, churches, business people, and just everyday residents who are volunteering to help clean up the city streets. And I was talking to Mandy Reisinger, the city administrator, about this effort, and the way it got started was student group at Woodville High School got this off the ground. They approached the city about possible activities they could do for some community service hours. And Mandy pointed them in the direction of helping out with the citywide cleanup efforts. So this is the second year they've been doing the Be Green, Stay Clean event. And this week, the student group who started this, they're going around to different organizations like the Rotary Club and Lions and different church groups and things to try to get some more people on deck with it. And if you're interested in participating in this, the city will provide bags and vests and those kinds of things. And also city council members, they'll be on hand Saturday picking up trash as well. And Mandy said this is kind of a come and go at your own pace, work at your own pace kind of event. She wanted to encourage everybody who can to take part in this because we've got the Dogwood weekends coming up, a Western weekend and all of that. You always want your city to look good and clean, but you've got these events coming up where a lot of visitors will be coming into the city. So hopefully you can get some people out there helping out with this and maybe establish a habit that will continue in perpetuity. On to the next story. I want to send a hearty shout out to the Woodville Lady Eagles basketball team. They went and participated in the state championship tournament. They won the first round against the Poth Pirates. And then the second game, they played against Chapel Hill. And they came out a little short on that one. 46 they scored to Chapel Hill's 55. But man, that's a great thing. With them coming back home, a silver medalist basketball season is officially over and done with for all Tyler County teams. And we're on to spring sports, baseball and softball and so forth. And got some tennis action out there too. So be sure to pick up the Tyler County Booster this week for some updates on some of those things. We've got some reportage on the second annual Allison Mitchum tournament that happened in Colmenille and how the team in the region did in that. But yeah, again, props to the Lady Eagles for doing so well this season and coming home as silver medalists. And I know that Coach Carroll couldn't be more proud, and all the parents of the girls on that team as well. So great job, Lady Eagles, and you'll bring home those rings next year. I bet it will happen. Keep on, keep on. keeping them. So moving on to another story, this is something that happened in Woodville last Friday, and I wanted to bring this to light because there was a lot of rumors spreading around about this incident. Is anybody listening to this or knows that, lives in one of the towns we cover, one of the areas we cover, lives in these small towns? The rumor mills run wild, and it's not every day that an incident like what I'm about to describe happens in a town like Woodville, but it does happen quite frequently across our country, and you hear or you read about these kinds of incidents ending catastrophically. But this is an incident that turned out for the better, as good as you could hope for it to turn out given the circumstances. Before I put all the eggs in the basket before telling you the details, basically what happened Friday was Tyler County Sheriff's deputies, along with some officers from Woodville Police Department, stopped a motorist who was driving through Woodville in a big black truck there in front of the Brookshire Brothers in their parking lot. And Tyler County Sheriff's Office had received a tip from Nacogdoches Sheriff's Office about a motorist who they thought was going to be traveling through Tyler County, saying that he was possibly suicidal and armed with a handgun. And Sheriff's Office, they gave information not only about the truck's description, but also registration information. And so they were able to stop this driver in Brookshire Brothers parking lot and do a welfare check. And the driver, who, of course, their name and or gender has not been revealed given the nature of this scenario, was taken to be evaluated by mental health professionals. Now, this is a thing that you read about this, you hear about these things happening a lot of times. Those with mental illnesses who encounter law enforcement, and it ends up bad, with law enforcement officers all too often having to open fire on an individual who might exhibit some issues, whether they be suicidal or psychotic or whatever have you. But this turned out with the individual safely being taken for observation. And so we want to give a shout out. Great work to Sheriff Brian Weatherford and also to Chief Scott Yosko of the Woodville Police Department and their respective crews helping with this incident. It's a sad thing when everybody, it seems, has their opinions on suicides. And I've read that someone who is legitimately suicidal, that whether they commit the act or not, it never actually leaves their thought process. So I hope that whoever this was that was coming through Woodville, I hope that they get some help and are able to continue with their life and find some happiness, whatever makes them happy. So I want to give a shout out again to law enforcement in the area for being professional and handling this situation that could have been potentially catastrophic. But also want to remind anybody who's listening to this that check on your friends and your family that might be having problems. Just remember that you never know when something really bad can happen. All too often it does. So just remember people that might be going through hard times. Don't be afraid to call them up or text them, whatever the case might be, and ask them out for coffee or a drink or a meal or whatever have you, or just hang out and talk about things, because you never really know how bad that somebody might be having it unless you're in their shoes. With all that out of the way, I want to close on a reminder. Before you go to bed Saturday night, it is time to spring forward. Yes, it's that time of year again. Daylight savings time is about to begin, and it officially begins at 2 a.m. on Sunday, this Sunday. But, of course, most people are going to turn their clocks forward Saturday night before going to bed. And, of course, your cell phone and most of your electronic devices, they do it by themselves. I guess the little gremlins inside the devices, they know all and see all. But if you've got an old school clock like I do, the one by my bed anyway, you gotta manually turn it forward. Spring forward. You know, it's a weird transition for a lot of people. Daylight savings time. And I know it throws me off when it begins and when it ends too. And I really hate the lead up to it, seeing the days get shorter and shorter, but the days are about to start getting longer and longer. So I really like that. Losing an hour of sleep, I'm not too crazy about. But be that as it may, here's a few things that were suggested by the Better Sleep Council to be able to survive the change to daylight savings time. Point number one, make a deal with yourself that you're going to plan for 7 or 8 hours of sleep every day, even if the day is an hour shorter. Work backwards from the time that you need to get up and set your bedtime. Number two, to help adjust to the spring time change, start preparing for it several days in advance, going to bed 15 minutes earlier each day, for instance. Time changes are also a good cue to evaluate your bedroom. Make sure it is dark, quiet, and cool at night so you have the best setting for optimal sleep. Prepare for better sleep by creating a relaxing bedtime ritual like taking a bath, reading a book, or listening to some music. Number three, Eating and drinking can actually disrupt your sleep. Plan to finish meals and snacks 2 to 3 hours before bedtime because digestion wakes up your body. Limit caffeine to the morning and finish your alcohol consumption by the early evening. Smoking before bed can also stimulate your body and make it hard to sleep. And last but not least, staying active during the day will help your body crave sleep at night. Even a walk can help you sleep better. Be sure to end your workout 2 hours before you head to bed so that your body has time to relax. A short 20-minute nap during the day can also prepare you for a good night. Short naps like these can help your body adjust to the time change and help you feel ready for sleep at your normal bedtime. Be sure to expose yourself to lots of bright light throughout the daytime to help your body know it is time to be alert. I'm a big proponent of naps. The older I get, naps just sound like the best thing going, and I never have time to take one, but 15, 20, even 30-minute nap can work wonders. The other day we were talking here at the office about trying to install some nap pods, and it might be a pipe dream, but who knows, in the future, maybe we might have some nap pods to take little naps and shifts, so. Hope springs eternal. I hope everybody, again, is having a great, prosperous, fun, productive, and safe week so far. And I hope everybody has a great, prosperous, fun, and safe weekend as well coming up. Thank you for listening. And again, my name is Chris Edward. I bid you all farewell for this week on the East Texas News Roundup. And as always, be good to yourselves and to one another. Thanks.
Happy March, listeners. Megan Whitworth here with your update on Houston County. Here's your rundown with the latest news. So, first of all, in big news, Crockett has a new police chief. Clayton Smith, who was recently elevated from the position of lieutenant in the Crockett Police Department to interim chief of the city's police force, now has been moved up another notch on the force to the top position of police chief. Smith was promoted and appointed to the chief position outright by a unanimous vote during a Crockett City Council meeting last Monday. Smith had been appointed to the interim chief position at a special call meeting of the council on December 7, 2018, after former Chief David Cross, also known as Buddy, retired and announced his retirement in a press release issued on December 4, 2018. So we just want to give a big thank you to Chief Smith on his new role. And just behind the scenes, the past few months working with Chief Smith has been such a pleasant experience. He has just been so open and talking with us and just answering questions that I had about cases that were going on. So we're just super excited to have a police chief. And so just congratulations to Chief Smith on the new role. In medical news, the executives and staff of the Heart Institute of East Texas are about ready to open their Crockett facility to offer treatments and other services. The facility is located at 951 East Loop 304, and it will be open for business in the next week or so. A groundbreaking ceremony was held last August, which plans were announced to renovate a 15,755 square foot facility, which was a former East Texas Medical Center building. And that's when they announced the plans to come in and offer more services to Houston County. And just one of the services they will offer includes a partnership with CHI St. Luke's Health Memorial Lufkin, and they are going to offer an urgent care, and it will be available 7 days a week. And the hours are Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., Saturday 8 a.m. to 4 p.m., and Sunday noon until 4 p.m. And just from personal experience, it's great to have urgent cares when you are sick at like 7 p.m. or not feeling good on a Sunday, that you can go in and get checked out. So we look forward to that and those services provided here in Houston County. And you can read more about the partnership, about what the Heart Institute will bring in, and the story begins on page 1A of the latest edition. And so another article that I dived into this past week was that Houston County does not have a local animal shelter. I sat down with Houston County man Gerald Reichel, who has created a petition to build an animal shelter for the county. He started the petition after a black and white puppy was dumped on his land. He found the puppy just a few weeks ago in February, and he didn't have a place or a home to bring the puppy in, But he was so touched by this little dog that he just knew that there was, that's just something he needed to do. So he called the Houston County Sheriff's Office and he just had said, hey, what should I do? And Gerald said that the dispatchers up there said that he just needs to take care of it. And he wasn't satisfied with that answer. And so he just started this petition. And within just a few weeks, he has gotten over 300 signatures in support of an animal shelter here in our part of East Texas. And in the petition, it states that the funding for the animal shelter will be in part by an animal, dog, or cat tag fee of $5 for fixed pets and $50 for a dog or cat that is not fixed. And I think that's pretty feasible. I have two cats and I would pay that to help support an animal shelter. Gerald, he is going to present the petition to the Houston County Commissioner's Court their next Tuesday meeting, which is March 12th at 10 a.m. The meeting will be held in the Commissioner's Courtroom in the Houston County Annex, and he has invited any community members that want to come show their support for the need of an animal shelter. So definitely spread the word if you feel that an animal shelter is needed here in Houston County. After the interview, I was able to go pet Gerald's German Shepherd, who he rescued about a year ago, and the pup's name is Max. And it was fabulous because German Shepherds are my all-time favorite dog since I was like 5. I was just so excited to pet Max and give him a little love. I have two cats of my own and I love animals. And my cats, Felix and Lucy, are actually rescues from the Kurth Memorial Adoption Center in Lufkin. And they're just my world. So anyways, I won't go all cat, crazy cat lady on ya. So anybody, just if you're in support with Gerald, come out to the Commissioner's Court meeting on Tuesday, March 12th at 10 a.m. in the Commissioner's Courtroom in the Houston County Annex. So in other really fabulous news, the Grapeland Sandiettes brought home the runner-up trophy in the basketball state competition. How awesome is that? We were on pins and needles just waiting to hear how they played this past weekend. And even though like they didn't win top prize, we're just super excited for our Sandiettes. And sadly, there was just 4 points that separated this Sandiettes from the number one Martins Mill in a close game of 60-56. And that must have hurt just being 4 points shy. But we are still so incredibly proud of the Sandiettes and their hard work this season. So you can read the coverage of that game and just so many more Houston County sport updates on 1B and 2B of this week's edition. Our kids have been up to so much, so you don't want to miss out on what's going on in the sports world of Houston County. Well, there is a lot going on in our neck of the woods. One thing for sure, we are ready for spring. Warmer temperatures, less sickness, and more sunny days, please. As always, make sure to follow us on Facebook at HC Courier for updates and check out our website at hccourier.com and pick up the latest edition of the Houston County Courier on Newsday. Now. Till next time, I hope my voice is a little bit better. Been sick for about a month. Not very excited about that. Hopefully next time I have a clearer voice and I'll see you later.
Well, hello there, everyone. This is Jacob McAdams, the editor of the San Jacinto News-Times, and I am here bringing you our most recent news from last week for the San Jacinto County area. We had a couple things going on last week, had a few interesting events come up that really just kind of show you just some interesting aspects about San Jacinto County that you may not have known. And the first one is, if you weren't aware, last week was on March 2nd, we were observing Texas Independence Day. And what's interesting about that is, if you ever go around the courthouse square up here in San Jacinto County, around this time, we usually have some flags, some Texas flags placed around the courthouse. Now, the people that do this are members of American Legion Post 629, the San Jacinto County Historical Commission, as well as San Jacinto County's Veterans Service Office. And they always do this around this time of the year in observance of Texas Independence. But we actually have a little something else going on that I was not aware of until here just recently. And that is, if you go inside the San Jacinto County Courthouse, if you look up at the second floor of the rotunda, you'll notice 7 flags that are on display. And each one is different, and each one ties into the history of both Texas and the United States. If you're wondering what those 7 flags are, the first one is the tea-stained Betsy Ross flag. It's the original United States flag that has the 13 stars on it. We also have the 1812 flag, which is the one that Francis Scott Key saw whenever he inspired to write the Star Spangled Banner. That one also looks similar to, in fact, that one actually looks a bit more similar to our current U.S. flag in its pattern, but it has 15 stars on it as opposed to 50. And fun fact about Francis Scott Key is that at one point, Sam Houston had actually gotten into a little bit of a scuffle with one of the United States congressmen, and the attorney who represented Sam Houston in the trial was Francis Scott Key. So I bet you didn't know that Francis Scott Key and Sam Houston actually had a connection like that. It was very interesting. We also have the Joanna Troutman flag. This one's pretty interesting. It's a two-sided flag, and it has wording on one side that is in Latin and wording on the other side that is in English. And Troutman is considered to be the Betsy Ross of Texas, and it's also an interesting looking flag. We also have the come and take it flag. It's that phrase you see that's usually accompanied with a cannon. That flag is also on display. We have the Texas naval flag, and this one I believe was used during 1836, around that time, around when Texas joined the Union. Simply put, the Texas naval flag looks like, I take that back, it might have actually been before they joined the Union, but it looks like the United States flag. But on the blue field, there is a single white star as opposed to multiple stars, and it was meant to be a means to deter enemies that might see the flag because they might think it was a United States flag. And therefore, they would say, oh, well, maybe we shouldn't mess with them because this could be the United States and we don't want to get involved in a fight against them. They also have the first Republic of Texas flag. What I mean by that is the first flag for the Republic of Texas. That one is a blue flag with a yellow star in the middle. So that is meant to be the very first flag when Texas became its own nation. And we also have the 28-star flag, which is when the state of Texas had been admitted into the Union. They are represented as the 28th star on the flag. So those are the seven flags that are on display in the rotunda. And you can go and see them at any time when the courthouse is open. They're going to stay there for the time being. I don't think they have any plans to take them down. But if you want to see some flags throughout both Texas and United States history, that's the place to go. There are seven of them in total, and they are on the second floor rotunda. Now, we also had another event going on here. It was on March 2nd, and that was the third annual Edith Clark Princess Tea Party. Now, I know you might be thinking, why would I care about a little kid's tea party? Well, the thing is, the tea party is actually one of the Cold Spring Area Public Library's biggest fundraisers. It brought in about $1,980, so just short of $2,000 from this past weekend. What they do is the library actually sets up tables for little girls to come with their parents, and they do enjoy this little tea party before they go outside and have some fun, win some prizes. They do come dressed up like royalty and everything, and their parents often get in on it as well. But they had 99 guests there, so just short of 100 guests this past weekend. And the thing is, the event has been growing. This is their third annual event, so it started a couple years ago. And from what I was told, they had a little over 50 people show up the first time. And it grew to, I think it was about 83, I think was the number I got. It was in the 80s, I know that, last year. And now it's 99, so it's growing. And interestingly enough, it was named after Edith Clark, who is one of a number of prominent women in Cold Spring who actually helped start the creation of the Cold Spring Library some years back. And they decided to honor her because without her efforts, along with others, but especially her, Cold Spring wouldn't even have a library. So they do attribute a lot of the library's success to Edith Clark, and that's why they chose to name that fundraiser after her. This is one of a number of fundraisers that Cold Spring Area Public Library has to support itself. They call it a public library. It's actually a private library. And I forget the whole story behind the naming of that, why they call it Cold Spring Area Public Library when it's totally a privately owned library. But simply put, the library does have to get funding, usually through fundraisers like that. They have a lot of big fundraisers. Two most recent ones outside of the Princess Tea Party, they had the Fun Walk, which is held at Cape Royale. I believe they held that in November. And then before the Fun Walk in October, they have the Garage Sale. And the Garage Sale is massive. That's usually one of their biggest fundraisers. Unfortunately, I don't think it did quite as as well this past year as it normally does, which is unfortunate, but they still did pretty well, and they still were able to get some support for the library, which is good. If you're ever wanting to keep up with them, you can always follow them online. I do believe they have a website. They're here in town next to City Hall on 150. It's next to City Hall, and right next to City Hall is the post office. So they're on that same stretch. They're right next to each other. So they're pretty easy to find. And bringing up a little bit of sports this week, I am sad to report that the Cold Spring Oakhurst Trojans are unfortunately out of the basketball playoffs. They played against the Crockett Bulldogs March 1st over in Waco, and it was a very close game. The Bulldogs came out on top 73-71. And unfortunately for the Trojans, a lot of that had to do with the first period. The first period, they got hit pretty hard. Off the top of my head, I believe the score was Bulldogs were ahead. I think it was 27-13. I'm not entirely sure, but they were ahead by a huge margin. And then Trojans played catch up. They were behind 40-32 in the second period. And then the third period, they were literally behind by 1 point. And so that kind of kept consistent for the game. And unfortunately, the Bulldogs refused to let them have the victory, and they stayed ahead. But congratulations to the Crockett Bulldogs. It was a well-fought game on both sides, so we're glad to see that these teams play their hearts out to try and get the victory, and we will see what the Bulldogs do next. Y'all have a good evening, and we will report to y'all again soon.
In Trinity County, we've got a little bit of everything. In Groveton, the Groveton Police Department will be the recipient of 4 new body cameras. This measure was approved at last week's Groveton City Council meeting. Over in Trinity, a quartet of Trinity High School athletes will be competing in postseason powerlifting meets this weekend and next. There is a feature story on a pair of Tigers, senior Andre Holmes and sophomore Trey Goodman, who will compete in this weekend's Boys Regional Powerlifting Meet in Malakoff. Next weekend, over in Waco, a pair of Lady Tigers, senior Adelina Caceres and freshman Kaylin Fisher, will compete in the State Girls Powerlifting Meet. Over in Centerville, at last week's school board meeting, they discussed the resurgence of the baseball program. Centerville has not had a baseball program since the earlier part of the decade. This season, they are playing an outlaw schedule, and we'll see whether or not they want to play a honors varsity schedule next season. And the Trinity County Fair and Livestock Show will take place March 14th through 16th at the Trinity County Fairgrounds on the Y just outside of Groveton. And last but not least, Agnes Freeman, an Apple Springs native, a Groveton High School graduate, and a resident of Trinity Rehabilitation Health Center, celebrated her 100th birthday on Monday. That's it from Trinity County.